On the basis of the mandate which was given to me by the European Council, the Commission has just formally decided to recommend to the European Council that sufficient progress has now been made on the strict terms of the divorce.
So extremely impressive as to the amount of growth and the price appreciation in Bitcoin since the start of this year. I think, you know, Bitcoin's no longer seen as a fad. Even JP Morgan have actually, you know, U-turned on their stance, speculating that it could be almost as valuable and as important as gold.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Thanks for being here with us. It's Friday, and it's December 8th, 5:10 in the morning. We're happy you're here with us for our Friday edition of The Opening Bell. A good show for you lined up today. A little bit later on in the program, Brian Summers is going to be one of our regular guests here on Fridays from Skift. We'll be here to talk a little bit about what's happening in the travel and aviation world. A lot of you probably getting ready to hit the skies for a holiday vacation. We've got news on American Airlines and a wonderful Southwest Airlines customer service story that Brian will share with us. That's a little bit later in the program. Paul Nolte is here first, and we'll get to him momentarily to talk a little bit about our portfolios and the economy. But first, on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, Dow futures are up 46 points this morning. NASDAQ futures are up about 31. S&P futures are a little higher as well. And around the globe, markets in Asia are generally up, with the Nikkei up 313 points, a percent and a half nearly. The Hang Seng is up more than a percent at 336 points. And in Europe this morning, markets also generally in the green, with the DAX up almost a percent and a third, 175 points. And the FTSE in London is up a quarter. The CAC is up about a half a percent. Oil is trading at about $57.04 a barrel. Some news this morning. Bitcoin, you heard there in the montage. Boy, has it been going up and down nearly to $20,000 yesterday from $16,000 in only about 90 minutes, and then it crashed back down. It started off the year at about 1,000. We'll talk with Paul about this momentarily. But everybody is talking about Bitcoin, so we feel like we should as well this morning here on The Opening Bell. There's news on Brexit this morning. Germany's main business lobby group says it's relieved that Brexit talks have cleared the first hurdle, but is warning the toughest part lies ahead and calling for negotiations to speed up. The latest came early today as the British Prime Minister and the European Union members got a better idea of how Britain will divorce itself from the European Union, with a plan presented by the Prime Minister and accepted by, at least temporarily, in the interim by the EU, which is going to move the Brexit talks forward. The pound has rallied on the news as well, breakthrough in the Brexit talks. We'll have more on that as well as we move through this morning. First, though, it's Paul Nolte from Kingsview Asset Management in Chicago. He's with us every Friday at this time. Paul, good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
So, how much Bitcoin did you buy and sell yesterday?
It's going to be underneath the Christmas tree, I think. Well, it'll be just wrapped up nice in a little virtual wallet that we'll have. So
fitting.
The discussion has come up. We've talked about it a little bit in the past when it was merely $5,000. It's doubled since Thanksgiving, and the discussion around it is it a currency? And really, I think Bitcoin fails as a currency. It's a stable currency, should be a stable store of value. And you just talked about it going from 16,000 to 20 back to 16. That's not stable. Mm-hmm. And we can argue about the dollar being stable, but it has daily moves of less than 1%, maybe up to 2% over the course of a week, as opposed to 10% per day. And then ease of transactions. You can go to McDonald's. You can buy something with at McDonald's. The Bitcoin transactions generally take a week to complete. Mm-hmm. So that's not easy transaction, and not everybody accepts it. Now, that may change as this becomes a little bit more pervasive, but we are way in early stages for that. So right now we're putting it in the commodity bucket,
right?
Something else that you can mess around with. But as far as a currency goes, I think it fails that test.
Yeah, and even gold, we heard in that opening montage, somebody mentioned comparing this to gold. Even gold doesn't have these wild swings like this.
No, gold has traded in a range and has been for a long time and historically has been accepted as currency, as coffee beans or as tulip bulbs were once considered currency. but everybody accepted it. Right now, you don't have everybody accepting Bitcoin in a transaction, and that's where it fails. Until it gets to that point, it's going to be a source of wonder for a lot of people.
I heard, Paul, chickens and eggs used to be currency as well on farms.
As long as people are willing to take it in exchange, absolutely.
One of the other things about Bitcoin, well, there's two other things that I want to bring in here. One is I never knew the amount of energy, like physical energy, it takes to do Bitcoin. There was a story this week that said if it continues at this pace, becomes this thing, we could be spending more and using more energy on Bitcoin-related things because of all the processors than we do to power some countries.
No, that's true. And one of the other things, too, along that line is Bitcoin's not the only cryptocurrency. There's over two dozen other cryptocurrencies, and it very well may be that the first one to market is not the winner. Mm-hmm. AOL, remember way back when, or MySpace or whatever, those were the first to market. Bitcoin being the first to market may not be the one that is the most successful. And some of these other cryptocurrencies don't have the same energy needs, don't have the same demands on trying to create them that Bitcoin does.
CME is going to start putting Bitcoin up on its monitoring it up on its feeds Sunday, I believe. Does that is that how would you view that move?
That one I view as actually very good because right now you can only express an opinion on Bitcoin by buying it, so it's a one-way transaction. By the CME coming out and doing this now, it allows you to short the currency. It allows you to sell it. Even though I don't own it today, I can go ahead and sell it. So I can now express an opinion about the value being too high and it can go down. There's a way for me to profit from that. So it'll be interesting to see how this comes out. Well, because of the volatility of Bitcoin, the CME is requiring investors to put up generally 3 to 4 times normal margins for a lot of other instruments that they use. So the S&P 500, you have to put up 10% of the value of the contract. Here, they're looking at 40 to 50% of the value you're going to have to put up in cash.
And so the million-dollar question here is this something we should consider putting in our portfolios or wait still?
You know, I, as you can tell, I struggle with, right. with this as a currency
well,
and everything
alone,
else.
You're not
no,
alone.
Absolutely not. And the fact that it's doubled since Thanksgiving has gotten everybody rather excited about it. If you want to compare it to, say, the tech bubble in 2000, the tech bubble is merely a molehill compared to what this thing has gone up. I can't see putting it into a portfolio. If you want to invest in it, you want to have a piece of it. Just say I'm buying Bitcoin. I would use your Vegas money for that. So realize that you know it could be wildly profitable if you hit it. It can also be wildly unprofitable as well. But you don't want it to have a material impact on your lifestyle.
Paul, hang on with us. We're going to take a quick break. Jobs report today. Other news on the economy we're going to get to right after we take a break with Paul Nolte here, as he is every Friday on the Opening Bell from Kingsview Asset Management in Chicago.
From ABC News, Wall Street Now, the major stock indexes bounced back on Thursday, the Dow Jones closing up 70 points to 24,211, the NASDAQ composite picking up 36.5 points to finish at 68,12, and the Standard & Poor's 500 advancing nearly 8 points. The UK and the European Union have struck a deal to unlock negotiations toward their permanent separation. Talks on Britain's exit from the EU after 40 years have stalled over disputes on the finer points of post-Brexit business ties. The parent company of United Airlines has announced a $3 billion buyback program that represents about 17% of its market value. United Continental says the buyback reflects the strength of the company's balance sheet. Meanwhile, Canada's luxury WestJet Airlines has launched a new ultra-low-cost carrier called Swoop. That company will fly primarily within Canada on Boeing 737s, packed with 189 seats each, 14 more than Southwest Airlines' largest 737. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the program. It's 523. Glad you're here with us. And Paul Nolte is here, too, from Kingsview Asset Management, our regular Friday conversation. Paul, it's Jobs Report Day.
It's Jobs Friday, and what we'll be looking at, this could probably be the one of the first reports that we're going to get that is not going to be hurricane-related. It'll be a clean report. We'll see some adjustments to the prior couple months and a couple things that we'll be looking for in the report. First, estimates are about 190,000, 195,000 in new jobs. We'll be certainly looking at wage growth, and we've seen it pick up a little bit over the prior couple reports, but certainly not enough to get us worried about inflation going forward. The other thing that we see, too, is historically, or at least I should say this year, we've seen revisions to prior reports be lowered. And usually that means then they've overestimated current months. Things aren't as good as they originally thought. Mm-hmm. We need to pull back a little bit on our estimates. And when they finally come up with the final numbers 2 months after the release. And normally that occurs in advance of a recession. So because they are overestimating and things aren't as good as they thought, and that may be the case that we're facing here. And one of the calls that we're making is that the economic environment is not necessarily as strong as many think. And we could see a recession late in 18, early 19, if conditions continue this way.
So we'll be watching closely to see those revisions then.
That's, oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Do you think if we see it, let's say unemployment falls again to 4%, how's that going to impact what the Federal Reserve does?
The Federal Reserve right now is it's 100% that they're going to raise rates next week. And then when Jay Powell takes over next year, the expectation is by the Fed that they're going to raise rates four more times next year. The market believes only one more rate increase in 2018. So there's a big difference between the two. If we continue to see GDP growth of 3% plus, we see continued employment growth, we could see closer to four rate increases than the one. And that will surprise the market and could also invert the yield curve. And that has historically been a very good sign of pending recession and very poor market returns.
You know, you've brought in you've been working on another visual for the show.
Another
this
visual
morning.
Aid, absolutely.
But talk to us a little about what you've been doing with the yield curve and what it may show.
All right, so the yield curve, the way we're defining the yield curve is the difference between a one-year Treasury and a 10-year Treasury yield. And the difference between that is the spread. So normally it's positive, meaning the 10-year yield is higher than the one-year yield. We've have over the course of the last year or two seen that flatten, meaning that the 1 and the 10 are getting closer and closer together. When that occurs, that flattening curve, that generally has been positive for the stock market because we're late in an economic cycle, the economy's doing very well, the Fed's trying to raise rates to cool things off a little bit, and the market returns are very good as we've experienced this year. When it goes negative, though, those returns for the markets are generally negative. And the magic number, if you will, is when we get that yield curve down below a half to maybe 25 basis points. We're at 75 basis points now. We were at 1% back in October. So it's been flattening quite rapidly. And if the Fed continues their course of raising interest rates, and those that are on the 10-year side believe that inflation's not an issue, growth is probably not as good as we think, we could see that inverted yield curve sometime next year.
So how should we start positioning ourselves, if at all, in our portfolios?
We pretty much stand pat through the end of the year, and I think as we go into next year, we're going to have to start looking at an economy that could be in the eighth or ninth inning, if you will, of recovery, tax bill notwithstanding. So I think you're probably going to want to move away from technology, which has been fabulous for the last year and a half or so, move to a little bit more defensive structure in the portfolio, and have maybe a little bit more bond and short-term bond exposure in the portfolio. So we've had a very good run. The markets are up 17, 18%. We say thank you. We're grateful for that. And we want to take some money off the table.
All right. Paul, always good chatting with you. Have a great weekend.
You too. Thank you.
Paul Nolte from Kingsview Asset Management in Chicago. You can find more about Paul and his team over at Kingsview at kingsview.com. And Paul's here every Friday on The Opening Bell. 5:28 now over to the newsroom. Vic Vaughn joins us from there, and he has the news shortly. Vic, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Steve. The president's updated travel ban is back in federal court today. We'll have a preview in our report next.
This is The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Hi, this is Jim Dahlke with today's Inno Minute on WGN Radio, a rundown of all the Chicago innovation and tech news you need to know, delivered by ChicagoInno.com. In an effort to help local students get better access to computer science education, Google has teamed up with Chance the Rapper to donate $1.5 million to Chicago Public Schools and education engagement around the city. $1 million will be given to Social Works, Chance's nonprofit, while the remaining $500,000 will go to Children's First Fund to support computer science programs at CPS. ShiftGig, the on-demand staffing startup that helps employees find jobs in a variety of industries, has laid off 75 workers, cutting down the staff by a third to about 130 employees. And Boeing CEO Dennis Muilenburg said the Chicago-based aerospace giant will be the first to transport humans to Mars, telling CNBC's Jim Cramer that the first person that sets foot on Mars will be there in a Boeing rocket, to which Elon Musk responded on Twitter, "Do it." That's today's Inno Minute from WGN Radio. Learn more at ChicagoInno.com and sign up for The Beat, our daily email newsletter.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the program. 5:39 here on our Friday edition of The Opening Bell. American Airlines and its pilots have figured out their schedules, and there will not be any flight cancellations over the holidays because of that snafu. And pretty cool Southwest customer service story that we'll get to this morning as Brian Summers joins us now. He's an airline reporter at Skift, and he's with us by Skype. Brian, last time we talked, we were talking about this American Airlines situation. Give us an update.
Yeah, when we talked last week, this was the biggest deal in the world. Some people were wondering if they should book American Airlines. There was this talk that Christmas would be ruined for tens of thousands of travelers. And I think I predicted last week that this would all go away. That's exactly what happened. American had given too many pilots vacation over the Christmas period, and it needed to beg those pilots to come back to work. There's really one way to do that. American said that it would pay its pilots more money. And yes, lo and behold, at the end of last week, American said, "Pilots, we will pay you double to work flights you were supposed to work anyways. Will you come back?" The pilot union said, "Yes, of course. Everything is happily ever after. And American Airlines is not going to ruin Christmas for anyone."
Yeah, you called that one. This is going to be kind of costly, though, for American, isn't it?
Well, one analyst predicted that this would cost American Airlines about $10 million. I suppose that if that's in your own personal bank account, $10 million is a lot of money. This is a giant corporation. They make billions of dollars. This is a rounding error. It's not a big deal. It's not material for investors. It's just going to disappear.
Yeah, I think they call that chump change in the business.
Exactly.
But it has left sort of and correct me if I'm wrong, maybe I'm characterizing this the wrong way, but there has been a little bit of bad taste in Americans' mouth over this, because the pilots union really didn't have to publicize this, and they were kind of criticized for that, weren't they?
Yeah, the pilots union has not had great relationships with American Airlines going back a couple of decades now. There's all types of things that we don't need to get into right now. But essentially, American's pilots union doesn't trust management, and a lot of the reasons for it were done years ago. But the union seemed to publicize this. They didn't need to. They could have quietly gone to American management and say, "Pay our guys double and our women double, and they'll come back to work." Didn't happen. Somebody probably went to the press. The union made a big deal out of this last week, and it blew up.
While we're still talking about American, why don't we talk about this, the smart luggage issue? A lot of people are buying these new pieces of carry-on luggage, some of them carry-on luggage, that have lithium-powered batteries inside of them, lithium batteries, and Americans has a new policy with that.
Yeah, these batteries, these carry-on batteries, these carry-on bags with batteries are very popular right now. They allow you to charge your device when you're on the go. The problem is not if they come into the cabin, right? You're allowed to bring all the batteries you want to your seat, put them in the overhead bins. You can't have those batteries in the luggage hold. And normally that isn't a big deal. You know you're checking a bag, you take the battery out. But because these bags are carry-on bags, what happens is at the very last minute, there's no room in the overhead bins, and the airline says, you can't have this bag in the cabin, and they take it and they put it in the luggage hold. And then mistakenly, a battery ends up where it shouldn't. So American is saying, you can still bring these bags on board. You just have to prove that the battery can come out if necessary. If we ask you to check the bag at the last minute, can you take it out? And other airlines, just about every other major U.S. airline has followed since then.
It's another chapter in this lithium battery story. It's still kind of a concerning story regarding these batteries, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know exactly the specifics, but I do know that the batteries are dangerous. There's a chance that they can catch fire. They can actually catch fire whether in the cabin or in the cargo hold. The big difference is if there's a fire in the cabin, I'm told, it may be scary for passengers, but it's pretty easy for pilot or for flight attendants to put it out the fire. In the cargo hold, that becomes a little bit more tough. So you'd rather have the fire, as horrible as it is to say, you'd rather have it in the cabin than in the cargo hold.
Yeah, and so the bottom line on this is if you've got one of these smart luggage pieces of luggage on your Christmas list for somebody, you might want to think twice about it.
Exactly. Or, you know, some brands have been coming to me and saying, our battery is really easy to take out, so you should buy this piece of luggage rather than the luggage where you need the screwdriver to take the battery out.
That kind of brings up another kind of aside here. I'm interested in somebody who does as much flying as you do. What would be good for a Christmas list for you? I mean, what have you asked Santa for that would be kind of helpful when you travel?
You know, I asked Santa for low fares and as many nonstop flights as I have. I'm embarrassed to say this, but I'm not much of a gear guy. So I probably can't be of much help for you. And the one thing that I love more than anything, and I've had it for probably a decade at this point, is noise-canceling headsets. You probably cannot be a business traveler without having them, but nothing else really comes to mind.
Yeah, but that's that in itself, the fact that you're not a gear person and you travel a lot says a lot because, I mean, as somebody who has to travel with gear whenever I travel to cover stories, it's a headache sometimes to get all this equipment through. So maybe we can use your lesson here as maybe a smart thing.
Yeah, you know, I'm not a gear guy. I think you'll find most business travelers, some of them are into gear, some of them are not. But the real key for being a business traveler is try to check a bag as rarely as you can, always have it with you, and that means you have to pack light.
Well, let's talk about Southwest. I know you've been writing about Southwest Airlines and customer service there regarding an incident on a flight from Los Angeles to Atlanta is kind of where the story starts.
Yeah, I was on a Southwest flight a couple weeks ago, right before Thanksgiving, and we were told of a problem on the airplane. There was a problem with the flaps. Not exactly a big deal, not what you want. But in this case, the airplane had some trouble slowing down, and we landed in Atlanta hot, they call it. Basically, we landed very fast, and the brakes needed to take over. And what happens then is the brakes overheat. And you can't go to the gate right away. You have to sit in a holding area and wait for the brakes to cool down. It added about a 40-minute delay to the flight. Not a big deal. I'm sure some of my fellow passengers weren't even listening to the PA announcements, so they didn't know what happened. What I found impressive and others found impressive as well is Southwest contacted me and apparently everybody else on the plane. The next day, they told us what happened in some pretty neat detail. They apologized and they sent everybody $100 vouchers. And because I do what I do, I reached out to Southwest and I said, is this normal? You know, if you have a 45-minute delay that isn't a big deal, are you reaching out to customers and sending them $100 vouchers? And I talked to the chief revenue officer there, and he said, yes, we do, and it costs us some revenue, but it's much harder to attract a new customer than keep a customer we already have. So if you're already in the system and you already fly Southwest, they tell me they want to make it right, even if it costs them some money in the short term.
Well, and compare and contrast that to other experiences you've had. Sometimes the stuff I know for me happens and you have no idea what's going on. You just kind of sit there and there's nothing.
No, I'm a professional, of course. And the thing that annoys me the most is when the airline either doesn't know what's going on or doesn't tell you what's going on. That happens a lot. Southwest says it tries to be proactive. Other airlines will tell you they're proactive as well, but sometimes the communication breaks down. In fact, a lot of times with airlines, the communication breaks down.
Kudos to Southwest, because this is the kind of thing that, you know, not only helps you understand what's going on, but it is often cited when the surveys come out about why you like Southwest.
Right, right. Of course, I heard from readers after I wrote that story, people had said, well, Southwest didn't do that for me. So they probably don't get every flight every time.
Let's talk about Allegiant Airlines. This is an airline that really has had some trouble getting where it wants to go. You've been writing about that, too. Tell us about it.
Yeah, Allegiant Air is an interesting U.S. airline because they have this very basic strategy that they fly to cities where there's no competition. They call it underserved routes. They fly from a lot of cities in the Midwest. One of them that comes to mind is St. Cloud, Minnesota. No airlines want to fly there. They often fly to Florida, to Las Vegas, places people want to go on vacation. And they often say that their biggest competition is the car. So if you can put five people in the minivan and drive down to Florida and save money, why are you going to fly? So Allegiant's fares are very cheap. They do charge for lots of extras. They even charge for sodas on board, things like bags. But they've been expanding a lot in the United States. They've been adding newer planes. They say eventually they want to fly to Mexico and the Caribbean. I've always found it to be an interesting airline just because they dig when others zag.
And so how are they progressing? I know your story suggests that it's been slow going for them, but are we going to start seeing them more often in more places?
Yeah, we'll see them a little bit. They don't have a huge growth plan. They have about 100 planes. They're going to stay with about 100 planes for the foreseeable future. One thing that they are doing, which is interesting, is they are getting into the hotel business. This has usually been a folly for most airlines. Generally, if you run an airline, you only want to run an airline. But on the west coast of Florida, Allegiant is building a resort and condo hotel that they are going to own and manage. And the idea is you can potentially make a lot of money if you not only sell people the airfare, but you also sell them the condos and you sell them the hotel rooms. So this package travel. It hasn't been done quite this way before, and some analysts are skeptical, but it might work.
We'll stay tuned. Brian, always good chatting with you. Safe travels.
Thanks so much for the time.
Brian Summers is an airline business reporter for Skift. Skift on Twitter, at Skift. You can also follow Brian as well at Brian Summers, S-U-M-E-R-S. And remember to sign up for the Skift's weekly newsletter on airline innovation and travel at skift.com/airline.
You're listening to the opening bell on 720 WGN.
On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, Dow futures are up 38 points. NASDAQ futures are up 28 points. More now on markets, including commodities and agriculture. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
And good morning to you, Steve, as we look at the final trading day of this week and the sixth straight session of losses in the live cattle futures market yesterday, six straight days. That February live cattle futures have been down, pressured by fund-driven long liquidation, falling cash cattle prices, and softening wholesale beef demand. Of course, we're in the turkey season now. That generally starts on Thanksgiving, where the increased consumption of turkey takes place. But it's not like it used to be, Steve. There was a time when turkey was the meal from Thanksgiving to Christmas, and that was it. But the turkey growers have found ways to make turkey a year-round meat in the meat counter, and it's been working for them quite well.
And we're all very thankful they have. Turkey's one of my favorites. Orion, I know the Illinois Farm Bureau had their annual meeting this week. Any big headlines from that meeting?
Not any big headlines, really, although they certainly made the point clear to the administration they don't want the U.S. out of NAFTA. They want to preserve NAFTA as they go through the discussions preliminary to coming out with a finding on it. They did re-elect Rich Giebert as president of the Illinois Farm Bureau. Had a good turnout as well, and the main concerns are the Farm Bill, getting that written by September of next year, and they spent time talking about that. And then, as I say, they spent time talking about foreign trade agreements, that type of thing. But good turnout. They always put together a good program when they come to Chicago, and we're delighted to have them here every year. We have a couple of more state conventions still to come. I know the Indiana Farm Bureau of State Convention will be taking place in a few days. This is the time of year when about 75% of the state farm bureaus hold their annual meeting.
Well, the harvest is done. It's time to do the paperwork, I guess, right?
It really is. And to make the decision on what seed they plant next year, because now that the yields of the various varieties of seed are in the bin, they pretty much know what they're going to plant next year. There was a time when we did all of the seed selling in late fall, but we're going back even earlier now to sell seed for next year's crop.
What can we expect tomorrow on the show?
Well, we're going to talk markets with Naomi Bloom. She's with Stuart Peterson. That's an advisory service in West Bend, Wisconsin. Sharp young lady, and the question we discussed with her that you'll be hearing tomorrow morning: what do farmers do, if anything, in the marketplace during this holiday doldrum season, which has already started? And she will have some pretty good advice on that.
All right. We'll be listening 5 to 6 a.m., the morning show with Orion Samuelson and Max Armstrong. Orion, have a great weekend.
And the same to you, my friend.
All right. It's 5:58 now here in the opening bell. Before we leave you, the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for Friday, December 8th. Labor Department releases November jobs report today. Analysts forecast about 198,000 jobs. Unemployment rate steady at 4.1%. Also today, the Commerce Department releases wholesale trade inventories for October. SpaceX will launch a commercial supply mission to the International Space Station. It'll be the 13th commercial resupply mission to ISS by SpaceX. And the House and Senate last night approved federal government spending, an extension at least until December 22nd. That funding would have run out at midnight tonight. Government funding at least secured for the next couple of weeks. Some of the things that could move the markets on this Friday, December 8th. That's the opening bell for this morning. We'll be back bright and early on Monday morning. Please join us then. I'm Steve Krasanich. Have a great weekend. It is time for the Steve Cochran Show down to the Allstate Showcase Studio. Pete's in for Steve today. Dave and Andrea there. Good morning, guys.
Hey. Good morning. Hey.
Happy Friday.
Pete's in the house.
Where's Mark Sapelsa? Come on in, Mark.
I got to work with him yesterday. You know what I said, you guys? Thanks, Mark.
That's
you know,
it? That's
well,
it?
He was tossing
That's
me.
It.
Yeah, I was on his story.
Oh, okay. You mean on TV, not here.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. Okay. Oh, no, here we had a lot to
awesome,
say.
Awesome, Andrea. Thank
we have you. Dr. Rouse on at 6:40, my personal physician.
Is he going to give us the results of your latest physical?
Sure. Yeah.
Wait, do we want to know?
You got to turn and cough and do that deal. Dave, why are you looking at me like that? You don't like Dr. Rouse?
No, I have no problem with Dr. Oz.
Okay.
I think you're an example of great health and
Thank
physical
you,
conditioning.
Dave and
I don't
pump
even
each
know
other
why
up.
You why you need Dr. Oz.
Appreciate that.
All right, let me separate you two.
Got my physical coming up in February, trying to get in shape for it, you know. All right, you guys ready to move?
Let's do it.
6:02. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNradio.com.
Listen, learn, laugh. 720 WGN.